Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues, here on AFR. And joining me to co-host the program today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good Tuesday morning.
Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family Radio.
Great to be back again.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Ray is the founder and president of Keep Believing Ministries, and he co-hosts this program Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. How about yourself?
You know, it's sunny. It's going to be almost 65 degrees in Dallas, so it's a beautiful day.
Going to ride your bike today?
Yes, sir. This afternoon, I'm going to go out for an hour and a half and get a little exercise.
Do you ride your bike every day?
When I'm home, unless it's raining, I'm out every single day.
Is that like a bicycle or a tricycle?
Oh, that's like a bicycle. I try to get 3,000 miles in every year. I got 3,100 in last year, and so I'm 200 miles in so far this year and just moving along.
Amen.
That's the distance, what, from California to where?
No, 3,000 miles is L.A. to New York.
Okay. Why don't you just do that and get it all over with?
Something called the Rocky Mountains, Fred.
That's right. That's right. That's what
10 speeds are for.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, anyway, folks, thanks for listening to American Family Radio. So much to talk about today, which is a good thing considering this is a talk show. And Walker's going to have us live video streaming. Walker, tell us about that.
That's right. We are live video streaming on the Today's Issues Facebook page. If you want to watch the radio show, you can do so on Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, if you would like to listen live, not on Facebook, you can simply visit AFR.net. AFR.net, listen live to the show there. Also, go back and listen to previous shows, which today's show will be posted this afternoon. So if you can't finish the entire show, AFR.net to listen to all past shows.
Yeah, we have to wait till the show's recorded in order to post it.
That would make sense.
But we can't.
That's right.
We can't
post an unrecorded show.
Duly noted.
Well said, Ray.
Nor can we post this show. Could we have posted it at 7 this morning?
Yeah, we couldn't do that.
It's impossible. Right. Think about it.
Unless we could jump into time.
Right. Do some time travel, something back. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that in the movies.
Yeah.
I don't think we can do that in real life. All right, so much to talk about on the program. We hope that you will stay with us for the next hour and a half. Sandy Rios will be with us at the bottom of the hour, and she's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. And the traveling man, Dr. Frank Turek, will be with us at 11:05, like in an hour from now. Text me this morning, our friend Frank Turek said, hey, I was in Russellville, Alabama. Was it last night? He said, I'm going to be in Waco, Texas tonight, talking about tonight at Baylor University. And he said, I know you got a lot of listeners in the Waco area, and I want to tell them where I'm going to be tonight. So Dr. Frank Turek will be on with us in 55 minutes to tell us where in the world is Frank Turek going to be tonight. Okay, Fred Jackson, what's going on?
Lots of political news to report, but first, the non-political story of the day. Alaska hit with a 7.9 earthquake this morning. It was about 200 miles off the coast, which is a really good thing because 7.9 is mighty, mighty strong. If that thing was underneath continental USA, it would have created huge, huge damage. There was a tsunami warning because when there's an earthquake off the coast like that, it bulges up the water many times. There's great concern along the West Coast. I lived through a lot of this when I lived in British Columbia, Canada for 10 years. There would be these earthquakes. You get the tsunami warning. Where I used to live was about 10 feet below sea level, just south of Vancouver. And we were always warned, hey, if it happens, you're going to be the victim of liquefaction. So that was a big word that I certainly studied very quickly since I lived in that zone.
What is that?
Liquefaction is when you're below sea level like that, there's an earthquake. What happens is basically the sea comes in from underneath and comes up through the ground. And
sounds so like a sci-fi movie.
It sounds like a sci-fi movie. So we were always told, be prepared. You know, you could be,
ready to
a lot of people have a boat because you'd be floating around in your yard at the very least of that.
When you see the sea coming up through your kitchen, it's time to get out?
It's time to get out.
Does insurance cover that?
I doubt it very much.
Went to the insurance man and said, hey, the ocean came up my kitchen floor, would they say that's not covered? Or
You probably had a fight with both.
I'm just thinking, the flood insurance, we don't cover oceans coming up through kitchen floors, sir. I'm sorry. We cover the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. But earthquakes, some of our listeners, I'm sure, have been through it in various parts of the country.
Yeah.
It's scary because it can be a beautiful day out there, gorgeous day.
Right.
And these things hit without any warning whatsoever.
Well, of course, the tsunami that hit Japan is the one everybody thinks of.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wow. And then you had the one that hit
Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Yeah.
Too. Both of those got a lot. They happened about the same time, didn't they?
Japan.
About 10 years ago?
Yeah, Indonesia a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
But you can go on YouTube and watch that wave. It was a beautiful day. Huge wave came in. Just devastating.
But now we have warnings.
Yes, we get a little bit of a warning. If it's off the coast like it was this morning, that you've got a little bit of time to prepare for these things.
But
apparently it was deep enough and far enough away from shore that it didn't cause any damage.
Okay, all right.
But it happened around 12:30 this morning, Alaska time. And so a lot of folks were in bed, and we have a video on One News Now right now of these people. The scare went out because they have the sirens, scare went out. And so people were getting up, and they were told to go to high ground along the coastline.
Now, related to this, in a way, because the warning was canceled. True?
Hawaii.
Here we go.
Okay. Here we go.
Ray, you know what I'm about to ask?
I do. I know exactly what you're about to say.
All right, Fred. All right, Fred, now, you need to put I'm telling the truth.
That's right. You can't make this stuff up.
Yes, you can't make this stuff up claim on the story you're about to share.
Yeah. So
go ahead, Fred.
Hawaii, you remember back a couple of weeks ago, big scare. The missiles are coming. People got...
That scared me.
Yeah.
I can see that.
What we're finding out is that the governor of the state, in trying to work his way through this, forgot his Twitter account and password. And... couldn't get the...
Ray's laughing.
Oh, man.
Ray, what do you think about that?
I mean, look, aren't you supposed to have Twitter on your... shouldn't you have it on your phone, right? So you just click it and go?
Hold on just a second here. Am I hearing you right? Are you telling me that a message was sent out that prepare to die, missiles are on their way from North Korea, be here in about 8 minutes or so, roughly, give or take a minute, and the governor is racking his brain for his password?
Yeah.
And in the governor's mansion so that he can tell everybody, oops?
Has Walker got that story? Because it's out there today.
All right, Walker, tell us.
Well, it's correct.
Just like I described it?
It's just like you described it. The false alarm goes out.
You don't admit this. You do not. You cover it up.
No.
The reason it took 38 minutes for the false alarm to become known that it was a false alarm is because the governor's office is scrambling for the password of the governor's Twitter account.
Now, let's see. What was it?
And according to one article, he knew within two minutes of the false alarm of the wrong, pushing the wrong button. He knew within 2 minutes, and it still took 38 minutes. Man, that's a long time to mess up.
What's the password, sir?
Honolulu spelled back.
I've got so many bank accounts, so many passwords.
649 or 496? I don't.
That's right.
Shut up. Leave me alone. Let me think. Hold on. Let me think. I'm going to go in the next room. Everybody leave me alone. I'm going to think about this thing. I'm going to come up with the password.
Somebody get my wife on the phone. She always has this.
Right. She always has a password. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Like I said, and Ray just agreed. and we're both Christians, but there comes a time you have to just deny and to take the consequences. So
I would I'm going to appoint a commission.
Right, I'm
going
to appoint a commission to look into this. Study this thing on why the delay was so left behind.
And I'm taking the fifth.
But let me tell you, these rumors about me not remembering the password.
Come on, people.
You don't really think that would happen, do you?
Give me a break.
Then he goes backstage and goes, you think they bought it? You think the people bought it?
No.
All right. Well, you've seen that commercial with, is it Progressive Insurance or somebody got the Star Wars a pilot getting ready to take on the bad guys? And
oh, yeah. You
know, well,
he can't find his keys.
Now, Steve Jordahl was going to do. Yeah. Do you want to play that right now? We actually have that Geico commercial.
Oh, is that Steve's deal? Well, we might play. Let's do it twice.
All right. It's cut number four.
Free advertising for Geico right here.
They came out of nowhere, sir.
How many of them?
We don't know. Dozens.
All right. Let's teach these freaks some manners.
Good luck out there, Captain.
Thanks, but I don't need luck. I have skill.
I don't have my keys.
All hands, we are looking for the captain's keys again. They are on a silver carabiner.
Oh, this is bad.
Oh, man, that's a funny commercial. I got to give it to him right there. All right, so you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred did not make this story up. It really happened that way. Sounded like a Saturday Night Live skit. But Walker is with me. And Walker, what do you think about you? Weigh in here.
On the Hawaii.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, I think you shouldn't rely on Twitter to notify the public that there's a false nuclear missile alarm.
That's
number
true.
One. Twitter should be the last place you go because not everyone has Twitter.
What happened to using phones?
Well,
he could call somebody.
The same,
what about TV?
Yeah, the same system that was used for the false alarm should have been used immediately to correct itself.
Yes.
So they did send out a text message, a notification 38 minutes later notifying the public. But after this, everybody's already had their heart attack and hit their heads
right.
trying to go under the bed.
Right.
But
right.
it needed to be, you issued the false alarm. 2 minutes later, the governor calls the management center and says, you issue a correction right now.
Mm.
And within 5 minutes, everything has calmed down. But 38 minutes go by and I need not mention this is a Democrat-run state. But if this was a Republican-run state, the media would be going, look at these inept leaders. They're Republicans. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to govern. But no, they need not mention that this is a Democrat-run state. Long, deep Democrat-run state.
This makes the Keystone Cops look like the CIA compared to what these guys did. Anyway, I would not want to be running this governor's reelection campaign. If he in fact can run for re-election, I mean, you know what his opponent's going to do.
Oh, my.
I mean, all right, Fred, what else you got?
Well, victory lap for the Trump administration. The government reopened late last night after being shut down yesterday. And, it looks pretty good for the president and pretty bad for the Democrats when even the mainstream media. In my office, usually I watch Shepard Smith on Fox in the afternoons. I think he comes on at 2:00 Central. He is the one, I would call him the bleeding heart leftist liberal in the Fox News lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he turned into somewhat of a conservative because he said Chuck Schumer and the Democrats lost it all. They lost the battle totally. They looked really, really bad. He said Chuck Schumer just caved. And what they're talking about there is that this was settled yesterday without Schumer and the Democrats inserting a DACA agreement into that budget bill. And so that was a victory. They went right back to where they were last week, where Trump said, no, we're not going to include DACA in this. We're going to have a spending bill, and that's going to be a clean vote on that. And the president got exactly what he wanted. And Schumer got nothing.
Crying Chuck.
Yeah. If anything, it's left some dissension in the ranks.
Yeah. Yeah. And the biggest problem of this all, I will credit President Trump and Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan of the latter two of which I don't usually speak kind of.
That's what he goes. You can't credit Mitch McConnell here.
I'm going to credit them
on this show
for
anything.
At least they held the line and they stayed on the same talking points, which is
right.
good.
Mm-hmm.
So. And they titled it the Schumer Shutdown, which went viral. But the problem about this is, in 3 weeks, we shall be discussing the exact same topic. And the headlines all week of the February 8th, the week of February 8th, will be government shutdown looming. Will bipartisan group come together and pass a funding bill, a two-week funding bill? No, we need at least a year funding bill, mm-hmm. at least a 12-month funding bill, because the military needs to plan on what kind of equipment upgrades they're going to do, how many military members they're going to hire, things like that. We can't keep running our government like middle schoolers passing two-week spending bills.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this next go-around, they'll learn their lesson and correct that.
Ray, what do you think about all this?
Well, first of all, give the president his due here. I can't remember a time, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I cannot remember a time when there's been a government shutdown or even the threat of a government shutdown where the Republicans have not caved in and lost the battle completely. I mean, in this case, Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, but this isn't just a win for the president. He cleared the field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a total victory for President Trump, which is amazing because the Democrats, I just think, usually are better at playing politics than the Republicans are. So this is a pretty amazing moment. All credit to the president and to Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and whoever else was on this. Really a big deal.
Democrats miscalculated this one with the American public. And I didn't know how it'd go either. I mean, you never know with the vast left-wing media all against Trump and the way they frame an issue for the public. But, you know, I don't guess the liberal media is having quite as much influence as they used to have given the various ways people can find their information right. today. Yeah. But, Fred, I would say this. They lost on this one because when I saw the report on Saturday, I guess it was, a CNN survey,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and the Democrats mm-hmm. were losers
mm-hmm.
on this because the American people were saying, you're shutting down the government to get people who are illegal legal, and you're shutting down the whole federal government over this?
That was it.
Your average American said, no, that's wrong,
yeah.
and we hold you accountable, Democrats. That's why they reversed themselves within 3 days, right?
That's right. The Democrats were hearing from the constituents back home. They said, wait a minute.
Right.
You're shutting down the government. You're denying our military their paychecks
right.
to protect a bunch of people who are in this country illegally.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
You're stopping everything for a bunch right. of folks who are in this country illegally.
Yeah.
That ain't going to fly, right. whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
And I think this foreshadows what we're going to see when it comes to the immigration debate.
Mm.
I think that is going to be the mentality. That mentality y'all just mentioned is the Democrats are going to fight hard for amnesty, preferably full amnesty for illegal immigrants. But I think the American people, even Democrats, hardworking blue-collar Democrats, are going to say, all right, so the Democrats will not vote for tax cuts for me, but they want to go to bat for illegal immigrants.
Right.
That's a complete turnoff. And I think Democrats, even liberals, are gonna kind of have their eyes open to this, and it's going to hurt them in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question. Is there going to be an immigration deal in the next 3 weeks, or are we going to be back here doing this all over again?
You talking about comprehensive, or you talking about on the DACA situation? Right?
I guess on the DACA side, is there going to be any deal done so that, as Walker said, we're not doing this 3 weeks in a row,
right.
3 weeks in a
well,
time.
Well, I don't think what the president wants, yes, he wants to have a DACA deal, but it's got to be part of a more comprehensive immigration. He's insisting on this. Basically, there's three prongs to this. It's DACA. It is money for the wall. And then there's some other elements added in there. Chain migration, and the E-Verify. All right, so he wants DACA. Yeah, wants a deal, but it's got to be part of this whole package, or he's not going to go along with this. Now he's going to run into problems with the Lindsey Grahams of this world on the Republican side of things, the Susan Collins, and a few more of these people. They're probably going to side with the Democrats and what the Democrats want on this. Democrats want a separate deal on DACA. That's it. That's what they want. And then we'll talk about this other stuff later. The president is saying, no, it is time to deal with this, and it's time that we secure our borders or we're going to be right back here to what Walker was talking about yesterday. We're going to be right back here again because there's going to be another flood of people coming in, and they're going to want amnesty.
All right. So my question is, Fred, can that be done in the next 2 or 3 weeks?
Well, this is what apparently the deal that was worked out between McConnell, Senate Majority Leader McConnell, and Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin, that they will work over the next 3 weeks. They will work on some kind of package, a proposal to give to the president. But go back to that meeting at the White House back a few weeks ago when you had all the Democrats and Republicans sitting around with the president there, and everybody said it was just a brilliant PR move by the president to see all of this. What you had Republicans saying, even Lindsey Graham saying, there is no point in us gathered around this table coming up with a deal that this president will not sign. Mm-hmm. So the question is going to be, when we reach that point on February the 8th, the question is going to be, is President Trump going to stand strong and say, I will not accept a separate deal for DACA. It's got to be part of this bigger picture.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important for our listeners to know, when you hear Republicans on Capitol Hill lawmakers saying, well, we're not sure what President Trump wants, we need to know what President Trump will support. I wrote an article on this. President Trump has issued a 7-page memo outlining in detail what he needs to sign a bill. And so
An immigration bill.
And so lawmakers know what he wants. It's that they don't like what he wants.
Yes.
So they want him to rebuff and issue a new memo. The President Trump has been clear on his demands for immigration reform. And
where's your article you wrote on this?
On AFA.net. AFA.net.
Okay. Can you post it on our Today's Issues Facebook page, too? Okay. It's an excellent article, my son. You've written there. I read it last night. And I tell you what, Ray and Fred and Walker, this is a critical moment in this whole debate because I think there is a bill out there that's getting some attention that seeks to address this issue of what to do with the Dreamers or the DACA folks, okay? There's a bill out there. Fred, we've got 1 minute. You want to?
The bill, this is from Bob Goodlatte.
From Virginia.
The bill includes the measures the White House has insisted be in any immigration bill, plus some more. It abolishes the extended family chain, migration categories, and the visa lottery. Those were the two big elements.
Get rid of those things.
And just to explain, family chain migration, this is if George comes in from some country in the world, then chain migration says George's family, aunts, uncles, nieces, they all have to be allowed in too.
It's insane.
Which, remember, Dick Durbin said he was most upset about the phrase chain migration because he thought black Americans would be offended because it refers to slavery.
He's the only person in America that thought of that. It was very clever and original with him.
Yeah, but he got
using the expression chain migration offended black people because they thought about slavery.
And so for our listeners who really don't know what chain migration is, that is not what it means.
No.
It means that one family member comes and that family member brings dozens more, like a chain links, connections.
Yeah.
Right.
And the visa lottery, very quickly, basically you throw a pile of names without anybody being checked for security reasons, pile of names in there, and the country just picks the names out of a box. Oh, George gets to go. Well, who's George?
Again,
we don't know, but he won the lottery.
Insane idea number two. Okay. For this. So, in chain migration.
Yes.
Explain to Dick Durbin what it is. And then e-verify.
Yeah. And visa lottery.
And get rid of the visa lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Build a wall.
Yes.
Money for the wall. But does that mean that the president is in favor of giving amnesty to the Dreamers?
That's the big question.
We'll talk about that when we get back. Sandy Rios will be with us in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
The dysfunctionality that we see prevalent in Washington, D.C. is not the cause, it's the symptom. The cause is because our nation has embraced wickedness.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. The National Football League has rejected a Super Bowl ad from American veterans. The ad urged players to stand for the national anthem. AMVET is the largest veteran service organization in the nation. They had wanted to place a full-page ad in the Super Bowl program. It featured a two-word message: please stand. You can see a picture of the ad on toddstearns.com. The NFL cited a long-standing rule about never accepting advertising that might be considered to be a political statement. So the NFL believes that politely asking people to stand for the Star Spangled Banner is a political statement? I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, the NFL is a lost cause, done in by a bunch of greedy team owners and a motley crew of America-hating billionaire crybabies. So maybe it's time for freedom-loving Americans to send a political statement to the NFL by turning off this year's Super Bowl. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, actress Suzanne Somers, when asked about President Trump, I guess she was leaving a restaurant or something in Hollywood, I guess, California, wherever she lives. She says, "I'm happy about him." And then she goes on to say, "I know my career is over now." Of course, her career has been over for a long time, except for, you know, exercise commercials or whatever she's doing now. But I just still thought it was funny that she knew that any kind of praise of Trump means the end of a career for a actress or actor in Hollywood, because it's groupthink. There's no diversity in Hollywood. Terms of how you can think politically.
But in real life, Tim Allen,
yeah,
remember his show was on ABC,
Home Alone. I mean, Home. He had that Home Improvement show.
It wasn't that show. It was the later show that he's been doing. Anyway, it got canceled by ABC last year.
Yeah,
it because he was out there knocking Obama on the show.
Oh,
and,
really?
Oh, making fun of Hillary.
Can't do that.
And all of a sudden, after, I forget, 7-8 years, all of a sudden,
and
gone.
Still had good ratings.
Oh, it had terrific ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. Suzanne Somers said, I'm happy about Trump. And then she says, "I know my career's over now." Oh, my word. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what have you put on our Facebook page today?
Well, I posted the story about the Hawaii governor losing or forgetting his Twitter password, thus the lack of of informing the public on the false alarm.
And as Dayberry would say, we're not making this up.
That's right. We're not.
Can't make this stuff up.
News article is posted on the Today's Issues Facebook page. I also posted a couple One News Now articles, of course, discussing the government, and et cetera. And then lastly, I posted my blog about Senator McConnell and the Senate Republicans and them not understanding President Trump's demands on immigration.
Who doesn't understand it?
The Senate Republicans, who continue saying that we just need to know what President Trump will sign before we put anything together. Well, President Trump has issued what he will sign, right, his demands.
And you're citing that. You wrote an article on this saying the president has laid out.
Yes. The president has laid out in detail his immigration reform demands. Okay. It's that their Senate Republicans do not like those demands.
Gotcha. Therefore, they say we don't know what he wants.
Exactly. They're acting like they don't know.
You know, if there was ever a time when the ball's in Republicans' court, this is it. They beat the Democrats at their own game, right? Right. They beat the Democrats always win the shutdown game. Mm-hmm. The Republicans won this time. If there's ever a time for the Republicans to get in line and give the president what he wants, this is the time to do it, because there are moderate Democrats who will go along and support something, because they don't want the embarrassment of another shutdown. They don't want to lose again to the president. So I hope the Republicans will stand their ground.
Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio each weekday morning. Sandy joins us on Tuesdays that we can work it out for her to be here, and she's on now. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, your microphone sounds fine right now.
Yeah, well, give it some time. Oh. It's becoming
it's fading.
A bit of a problem child.
Okay.
Sandy's sitting down there with the WD-40, you know?
Yeah.
I wish. If only that would fix it.
And the duct tape.
The duct tape, yes.
I know how to do that.
Sandy, I want to ask you something. I asked Fred this question, but I'll ask you. Ask him before the break. Goodlatte bill, are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
Bob Goodlatte's absolutely. Bill.
Yeah.
This is the Republican, and I'm assuming this is the president's position, to abolish chain migration and the visa lottery and make mandates e-verify, which I thought was already mandated, cracks down on sanctuary cities and builds a wall where a wall is needed, physical wall is needed. Okay, let's say that's a good bill. Good that is a Republican representative from Virginia. Okay, and I'm assuming that is basically that's the president's outline, right, Sandy?
I would say that it pretty much represents the president's viewpoint.
Okay, here's my question: is let's say that that goes all in the bill. Is the president and or the Republicans offering to the Democrats amnesty for all the Dreamers, all the DACA people? And by amnesty, I'm talking about full-blown citizenship. I'm talking about voting rights and everything. Is that is that on the table, or do you know?
No, if you're asking me if that's the Goodlatte bill and that's the president's
It's not the Goodlatte bill, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, so that's why I'm trying to understand. Are you're asking if it's the president's
okay,
position?
Okay, yes, I'm asking you if the president's decision. I should have said, as you just noted, the Goodlatte bill basically allows, if that's the gentleman's name, allows for these people to be in the country legally, but they don't have voting privileges, and they're basically
They can't become citizens.
They're basically a step below green card, is what they would be, seems to me, after reading this. So that's the proposal by, it seems to me like the Republican House members that they've come to compromise that way people don't get kicked out of the country, but yet they can't become full citizens. What do you think the president's willing to negotiate on this?
Oh boy.
I
can tell you what I do know.
Okay.
I according to what I'm understanding, he's going to hold firm on the things he's asking for. Which is exact? Which the Goodlatte bill is the end of chain migration, the visa program, visa lottery program ended, and legalizing the Dreamers in some form or fashion. And I forgot the E-Verify. But The thing that confuses me, Tim, my understanding is that he's going to hold firm, okay? That's what I'm being told. I know that Stephen Miller is a hawk on this. Stephen Miller, who was the president's, I think, chief policy advisor, now at least he was one of the chiefs, was Senator Sessions' expert on immigration. Remember when Senator Sessions stood on the floor of the Senate? I must have played his clips dozens of times on my own show because he made the greatest speeches about American sovereignty and the founding fathers and all of that. And that Stephen Miller was the, not that Sessions did not believe that himself, but Stephen Miller was the staffer preparing him the information. So Stephen is there in the White House. And I think it'll be over Stephen's dead body that the president compromise on those issues. We'll see what happens with that. And I also think that President Trump sees this pretty clearly. But what he's willing to compromise on, I couldn't say. Well, I mean, you know, that's the unknown.
I've been back and forth on this in my own mind about what to do with these folks because you're talking about people who have come here, brought here as children, and this is the only country they've ever known. However, so you have sympathy from a human standpoint for these, the plight of these folks. But at the same time, you know, Ed Vitagliano yesterday stressed something that really makes me think. You cannot give these people voting rights. I'm sorry. You can't. Because if you do, you're going to invite more people to come here from these third world countries who can make their way to America, and they know eventually they're going to become legalized citizens. They vote. They're going to vote socialistic, which in our country is for Democrats, because they come from socialistic countries and they're poor and they're in need and they want government money. I mean, it's not hard to understand this, okay? And you get enough of them coming in here and you grant them voting rights, it's going to be the death of our country as we know it. And we will become a secular, progressive, socialistic state in 10 years, certainly 10 to 20 years. You'll see, you know, it'll be left and far left. That'll be the choices that we have in this country. So you just can't let them vote. And Sandy, do you think the president will have that opinion, or do you think he'll trade full citizenship for the things that I've mentioned? I guess that's what I'm worried about. Only time will tell.
Well, no, I don't think he will. Okay. I would be surprised. Okay. I would be shocked if he did. But here's the thing, Tim. We now know that we have more like, USA Today actually reported this, that we have more like 3.6 million Dreamers. We know that they brought their families. They were bringing their families over.
Right.
We know that a huge percentage of them, I can't recall the exact percentage, I want to say half or more, are on public benefits. So it is, okay, to the voting point, remember there was a memo leaked out of the Podesta Center for American Progress that said we have to get the Dreamers legalized because it's important for us to win in 2018. We know that they fully intend, whether they become citizens or not, they're going to be the voter commission that was inspecting voter integrity has been disbanded because states are obstructing their ability to get information. The whole idea behind the left is to get people into this country voting, mm-hmm. whether they're citizens or not.
Mm-hmm.
They already are voting. I don't mean all of them. I mean, we know through J. Christian Adams' organization that many of them are voting and have swung certain elections. So there's a problem with the voting, even if they don't become citizens. And the other part is that they are draining the national treasury, which is already $21 trillion in debt. We have a serious problem. We are robbing our own children by placing the priorities of the so-called Dreamers ahead of our own children and our grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I'm a hardliner on it, and mm-hmm. that's the reason. I don't know how much more plainly I could say it. I prefer my children. It's my responsibility to take care of my children. They have families. They have countries. This is our country, mm-hmm. our family.
Yeah. Let's move topics here for the next 5 minutes with Sandy. Fred, I want to talk about the FBI. What do you have on that?
Well, two aspects here. What we're finding out is that there is a memo, and it's called a FISA memo that's out there. And
what's FISA for the people?
FISA, this is the court that was set up in the wake of 9/11. Basically,
to give the government special powers in certain cases to go and investigate people. So the original thought in the FISA court was terrorism, to stop people who are in this country.
Expedite the process.
Basically. So what's happened is that as the time has gone on, it has come to the attention of members of Congress that there is a memo out there that likely verifies what we have been talking about with regards to a deep state. In other words, it connects this so-called the dossier that came out during the election period, that basically the Obama administration weaponized the whole system to go after President Trump.
Then candidate Trump.
And
I guess undercut President Trump, but go after him as a candidate.
Yeah. Now, at the moment, the only people allowed to read this memo are members of Congress, and they have been doing that. In fact, this morning on Fox and Friends, Ohio Congressman Dave Joyce, this is cut number one, was interviewed about this. He has seen this memo. He's a guy, as far as I know, who was in law enforcement before he came into Congress. He has seen this. They're not allowed to reveal the exact contents of it, but he was on and asked about his opinion of what he saw. Let's have a listen.
25 years I've been in law enforcement before I got here in 2013, and I can tell you that I read it twice just to make sure I read it properly, and it was deeply disturbing, as anybody who's been in law enforcement and any American will find out once they have the opportunity to review it.
From what you have read, if it is true and accurate, should heads roll? Will heads roll?
Absolutely, they should roll. I mean, termination would be the least of these people's worries once they get to see the documents.
Do you think people could wind up going to jail?
They should. I mean, this is the highest standard. To me, in law enforcement, that's why it was disturbing, the point of making you sick. This is the highest standard that you have. And you know, the Constitution protects everybody, even President Trump. He didn't give up his rights when he became president.
So there you have it. That's Ohio Congressman Dave Joyce. He has seen this memo. There's a lot of pressure right now that the public deserves to see this memo. There's some areas of it that may be redacted because there are some top secret things in there. But what the American public wants to know is if the Obama administration used this FISA court basically to go out there and unmask names of American citizens who are not suspected of doing anything wrong, but they wanted to find out the Obama administration of talk up within the Trump campaign of strategy, et cetera, et cetera. Sandy probably is able to add more to that than I have.
Go ahead, Sandy. Where to start?
Well, yes. I'm reading some things that I think are in that memo already. And one of the reasons we know some about this, I talked to Joe DeGeneva on the air this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it is taken right out of a document that you can actually find. And I'll tell you and I'll tell everyone, if you Google FISA ruling, April 26th, 2017, FISA, F-I-S-A ruling, April 26th, 2017, it has almost verbatim, he said, what he is being read in that. He said, you read the very beginning of it and then you go to page 70 and read to the end. It's long. So you just want to read the opening and then go to page 70 and read it. And so this is what my understanding of is at least part of what it contains. It looks as though the FBI played a definitive role in plotting to undermine the President Trump as the nominee. And it was, by the way, the surveillance was going on a long time before the dossier was even created. So they were doing the surveillance. But the way I understand it, John Brennan was the guy who ran all of this, and they formed kind of what they called, what are they calling it? A secret society.
Secret society.
It was the NSA, the CIA, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Treasury Financial Crimes Division. It was James Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, Loretta Lynch, Jay Johnson, Admiral Michael Rogers.
Whoa.
And Michael Rogers, I have to put that in with a caveat. He actually briefed President Trump on what was happening, and that's why President Trump, before he was president, candidate Trump, that's why they moved their campaign operations to Trump Tower.
Yes.
Or no, they moved it somewhere else, I think out of Trump Tower. I can't recall. I mean, they moved it from
I think you're right, Sandy. It's traditionally held in D.C. in government operated buildings. And I think rather they moved it to Trump Tower for security reasons.
That's because the candidate Trump was given a heads up by Michael Rogers. But what they did was, it sounds like the whole thing was a setup. It looks like the FBI may have paid that Russian attorney, Veselnitskaya. She's the one who came and met with Donald Trump Jr. and Paul Manafort and others in the Trump Tower. And that was the meeting. She was given, she did not have permission to enter this country because of her connections with the highest level, what's now the KGB in Russia. And so Preet Bharara, who is the U.S. State's Attorney, I think, in New York, appointed by President Obama, overrode that and allowed her to come in. And it looks as though she came in just for the purpose of meeting at Trump Tower. And that was the beginning. That's how they set Trump up. They paid for her to come in. The FBI, this is according to what I'm hearing. This is not verified yet, but this is what it looks like is going to be coming out.
Yeah.
The FBI paid and made it possible for her to come over, and that's how they gave the excuse for beginning to wiretap Donald Trump Jr., Michael Flynn. They were actually, I think, wiretapping Michael Flynn before that. It is an amazing. It's amazing. It is just stunning. And I don't know who else did what, but we're going to be hearing about it.
One other question, Sandy, related to this. You mentioned the Federal Bureau of Investigation. James Comey headed that up during the Obama administration. When you say FBI, you almost want to stand at attention as an American, because that's has been the most respected law enforcement agency. Those three letters alone, command respect by most Americans, and because of their integrity and their independent role in government, and FBI agents and FBI people, they don't take political positions publicly. It's against the rules, I think. But they're still citizens. They're not robots, so they vote for who they want to, and they have opinions on things. But it appears that from the things you just talked about just a few minutes ago and all the other things we've been reading about, which is public knowledge, that the FBI is soiled and was used to go after candidate Trump in a coordinated way. And, of course, we know what they did to protect Hillary Clinton. James Comey sold his soul on that one, and then tried to fool everybody by changing the words, whatever those words were. I've forgotten, reckless to careless or whatever it was. Anyway, what about the FBI, Sandy? What can be done to? Is their image damaged so great that there? I don't know what needs to be done.
Well, I keep in mind. I'll answer that. I'm trying to anyway. Every agency. Oh, almost to that exception, under the Obama administration, was weaponized. I mean, I think you would have to admit, even the IRS has traditionally been respected.
Right.
And we certainly thought they were fair. We trusted them with the most personal things that we have, our finances and all of that stuff. And as bad as it hurt, we trusted them. And it was weaponized against us, against conservatives.
Lois Lerner.
Against Christians. To take in information, yes, and use it against us. So the EPA, same thing, weaponized against the American people. And the FBI, same thing. Now, that doesn't mean every FBI. Listen, there are so many fine FBI agents, I'd say most of them. But we're talking about the leadership. That's how things go rotten. It's at the head. So the head of the FBI just somehow became rotten. I think it started under Mueller. In those email between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, there are some exchanges where they talk about, they mock Trump voters and just regular people. And so do you think that when it came to prosecuting, you think about the ranchers out west, how the FBI behaved in that prosecution. They had the people that were calling the shots, not the street agents or the regular agents, had a bias, such a bias against conservatives. It's not just Trump. And so they get to decide who gets prosecuted, how it gets prosecuted. So Yes, the FBI was weaponized against you and me and against Donald Trump and people that support him.
Well,
I would not stop with just people that support Donald Trump. It started with a Tea Party before there was a Donald Trump.
Yeah, and of course, nothing happened with Lois Lerner. She pleaded the fifth, and nothing ever happened to her. So I'm very skeptical, even though we'll see what happens in the next year. But you're talking about so many powerful people. It's almost hard to believe they would get in trouble in a serious way beyond a congressional investigation that fades into history in another year or two. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe when this four-page memo is released, something will happen. Sandy, well, you stayed longer than we asked you to be on. Thank you so much, and we appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, have a great day in spite of it. Because, again, I say God is sovereign. Amen. God can sort this out, even if we can't. So.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Ray, you haven't talked in a few minutes. You still there?
Yeah, just was thinking to myself, who has the power to release this memo? It has to come from Congress? Can the president do it? I mean, what has to happen for it to come out?
Walker knows.
Yes, the House Intelligence Committee has the authority. The committee members in there have the authority to vote to release the memo. That memo will then go to the president's desk, and he has 5 days to order its release. So the committee, the Intelligence Committee in the House, and the president both have to agree for it to be released, and then it will be released.
And Americans, we have called for the release of this. Now, this is not an issue that AFA typically, gets into, inside baseball sort of politics. But this is a very serious matter of trust of our system and of our government, and this needs to be exposed to the American people. So we send out an action alert, Walker.
Yes.
To our folks, tell them, and for people who don't get our action alerts, there are emails that come to you twice a week about very important issues that you can take a stand on, and we make it easy for you to take action with those issues that we email about. If you don't get those, you need to. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sell your email to anybody. We're not going to bombard you with 7 emails a day, two a week. On various issues, but it's very important that you get involved. So what do they need to do?
If you visit AFA.net, on the right-hand side, there is a bright red button, and it says Get Alerts.
Yeah.
AFA.net, you can sign up there.
Sounds like what Sandy's talking about sounds like a John Grisham novel, didn't it?
There's another aspect to this we haven't talked about. On top of the FISA memo, there's also, we have learned in recent hours, a whole batch of text messages between Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, Lisa Page. Strzok's still with the FBI. Those are the two agents. They hated Donald Trump. And we've read some of their text messages between them. But now we find out all the messages from October 16th to May of last year have come up missing. And the FBI says, oh, we had some new software, and it kind of got lost in there. So we don't have them right now. So you've got the FISA
memo.
You buying that one? Not for a second.
No. Okay. No.
Ray, you're not buying it either?
Not a bit. Not a bit. Somebody pushed a button, and they disappeared.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You're not buying it either, Walker.
Not buying it at all. We've heard it before with the corrupt politicians. Data never disappears. It is only hidden.
These are corrupt politicians, but corrupt government officials.
Bureaucrats. Yeah. Yes. The data that you send on over your phone never disappears. It's somewhere.
All right. We're going to be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.